left off yesterday analyzing in Tosfos, and we came to a conclusion that we know approximately as much as we did before we started the Tosfos, because Tosfos themselves didn't know what the answer was. They mamish threw their hands up on us. How did this whole dilemma begin? It all started with a very cryptic statement of Shmuel and Meshmuel, Loshanol Shesbashava, Bal Nitzaba, Kalif Echach Begilagid, that although the Mishnah speaks about this terrible transferring of taste, when you cook a yerech with a gid, Shmuel puts the brakes on and says, "No, that's only true when you cook. But if you have a barbecue, if you have barbecues Labor Day weekend, is that a good thing? Or Memorial Day, Labor Day also? Good. Good. You have a Memorial Day barbecue, July 4th barbecue, Labor Day barbecue, Thanksgiving barbecue. You have a barbecue, flea, it's not derech bishul, so then not so terrible. Nishka felach. Now, when I read the Gemara, I thought that it meant not only is it not so terrible, but it's great. That we just cut off the gear and eat the meat and everything is a shalom Yisrael. So Tosfos couldn't believe that to be true. Tosfos says, wow, there's no nesi this time. It's blazing hot. There's a barbecue. Something's got to be permeating. Some penetration is taking place. So Tosfos threw up a big question mark, just how far is it? So Tosfos took us through a tour through Shas, so one half a daf in Maseches Pesachim, to try to show you back and forth and back and forth. One Mishnah speaks about Kedei Netilah. So he says, nah, that's not a good Raya. Then there's another Gemara that talks about Kedei Klipah. Nah, that's not a good. Back and forth, Tosfos leaves us hanging. So before we try to move on in this Sugya, we have to take one last attempt to go in the footsteps of Aliyah Tosfos and try to find one more Gemara. Now again, remember we said yesterday, the Rayas of Tosfos are I don't mean this in a negative way. Sometimes, you guys have to be my whole time. Sometimes I use a word that if you can accuse me of Pechis Kavod or the Halakha Rishayim, I don't think you can accuse me of that. But I sometimes use it only because it's just, you know, I don't know if I can say the word, but I'll say it anyway, but we'll cross it off. The Raya is almost deteriorating. Why the Raya is deteriorating? Because Tosfos started with the grandiose Raya of something that really had to do with Tzli. And, hey, Tzli, come from Pesach, Tzli, Gavaldik. So Tzli, Tzli, Gzer Shava. And then Tosfos said it's no good. So then Tosfos said, okay, so we can't bring any Raya from Tzli, so we'll bring a Raya from something that's not really Tzli, but it's a lower level kind of a Blia. And maybe we can compare the two. What was that second Raya that Tosfos brought? From Cham L'Seich Tzainin, right? Which is not exactly Tzli. On the other hand, it does have certain characteristics of lower level Blias. And then Tosfos said that Raya also flopped. So now Tosfos goes back to the drawing board, tries to bring you a third Raya. And they dug up a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, where the Gemara discussed the following Shaila, which is, what's the din if a person has a knife, and the knife happens to be a non-kosher used knife? It was a goyish knife, the goy just used it to cut his chaza sandwich or something. So it's got some schmaltz, some good fat, some good grease, some good geschmack of bacon grease or something, fat on the knife. And the guy doesn't do too much with it. What does he do? He shechs an animal with it. Of all things, of all knives that the shechik uses, he takes the knife right out of McDonald's and he goes in and he shechs the animal with it. So what's the problem? The problem is that we may now have a blia problem, because some of that junk, some of that gook, some of that trefa schmaltz on the fat on the knife may have now been nivla into part of the animal. Now again, it probably didn't make it all the way down to the leg of the animal, but it did make it into the area where I shechted the animal. What if I want to eat that part of the animal? So the Gemara wants to know, is that a problem or not? So our initial reaction to that question would be, well, wait a second, what are we missing? Yeah. We're missing the ABCs of Blias. What's the ABCs of Taroivis? You have to have what? Either mamish heat or some kind of a make-believe equivalent of heat, such as? You guys are catching on, right? It's like you guys have been your day for years, okay? So you have to have something. So l'chari by shchit, you don't have anything. Anyone ever see a shchita? Anyone ever notice what the base of shchita looks like? It's very steamy. It's very hot. It's not going to get warm. It's warm, that area. So the Gemara of the Machlek is in the first paragraph of Chulin, is the base of shchita tzeinen or is it reseach? I mean, it's not clearly not boiling hot. There's no question about that. On the other hand, it's not ice cold either. And we're not quite sure just whether that degree of heat qualifies as something that could create a blia or not. So the Gemara is a sophic of a chlekes emarim. It's the base of shchita reisech, the base of shchita tzeinen. Fine. Comes the Gemara and says, Obazoi, if so, that the base of shchita is reisech, so then you can't apply the rule of tzeinen b'tzeinen b'what? The hadach. You can't just wash it off and call it a day. You have to reckon with some degree of blias. And how far is the blia? What does the Gemara say? Kedei what? Kedei klipa. The Gemara calls it a kedei klipa. So comes Tyson and says, hey, wait a second. You see from the Gemara that when you have these watered down kind of bleas, it's not absolute. This is not cooking. This is not the real McCoy. This is a very, very watered down version of bleas. But you see that the general shia for watered down version of bleas must be klipa. Says Tyson, aha, if that's the shia for the base of Shechita Reseach, so Mistama, that's probably the same shia for what? For Tzli as well. That's Tyson's comparison. So which Tyson says, no, even that's not going to be a good raya. Why? Because there's something in that sugya of the sakin shell, the tray for sakin, the sakin shell of the zara that was used to, shecht an animal, that there's some characteristic in that part of the sugya that is responsible for the shia being a klipa. What is that? What is it about that case that makes the shia, knocks the shia down to a klipa? Maybe, says Tyson, it could be that the emes shia is really kedei netila, like they thought at the very beginning. You want to bring me a raya from the sock and the tray for sock? And no, maybe that's different, because that's a what? What is Tyson's right? Anyone know Tyson's? Oh, so comes Tyson says, Habi Amalia, but for a comment, Laman Dion Beis Hashchidu said, "Koylef, Shani Hashem the Shemnunis Shel Asakin Dover Muatu." It's a very, very small amount. So Tosis just added a new fact, just threw a new curveball into the equation. When we're being done on Belias, it's not only important to be done on the method or the degree of heat or the degree of penetration from the heat vantage point. There's another factor that's important. What's the other factor? Just how much volume of treifas you have in the first place. So comes Tyson and says, in the case of the sakin, that's not the same as the case of the tzli. The sakin is only a davar muat. And we already have sources in Chazal for the idea that when you're dealing with an isser of a davar muat, so then we're very, very lenient. Then the halacha views the degree of penetration significantly less. What's Tosa's raya to that, you say? So they go back to the drum. Tosis doesn't say anything without a raya. The Bali Tosis don't sit and philosophize about barbecuing and grilling. Tosis, everything is a raya from Gemara's. Chazal, Tosis had every line of the Gemara mamish in front of their eyes as they were speaking. So what's Tosis raya? When you have a dove and muat, so then the only distance you have to be concerned with is up to the point of Kalipa. Back to the Korban Pesach story. What's the Korban Pesach story? So the Mishnah says, that same Mishnah, Maseches Pesach, in Ketzet Tzoylen, speaks about the following. You have a Korban Pesach, you're roasting a Korban Pesach, and what do they decide to do? You know, Korban Pesach doesn't taste so good by itself, roasted meat, I mean, come on, it's not so fair. What do? You want to juice it up, put a little dressing on it or something, put a little, you know, put a little shemen up, a little oil on it, make it a little bit better, a little tastier. So when you order your Korban Pesach, you know, when you fill out your thing for your salad, Korban Pesach, put a little shemen on top. What did they do? What kind of shemen did they put on it? Gevalt geschwigge, they put on a shemen shel truma. Now, that's great if all the members of this Korban Pesach's name is Cone Katz and, you know, and Rappaport. But if there's a Mr. Levy in there, or a Sobolovsky in there, or somebody else in there who's not a Kohen, I got a big problem now. How in the world am I supposed to eat this Korban Pesach? So the Mishnah says, Gevalt geschwigge, it depends. When did you come to this realization that you shmir the shemen shel truma? Someone remembers just before Shia, someone sent me a shayla. They're on a trip somewhere and they bought a they used something to you know, like the canola oil thing, you know, you spray on the frying pan, you know, the like the Pam kind of stuff. But they brought another brand, they thought that Ashkacha, and they realized the other one didn't. So the frantic, they're waiting. I said, I try to figure out, I couldn't find out, trying to find out the OU. So we're still waiting, they're sitting there waiting for an hour and a half to figure out whether they can eat lunch or not. So it happens sometimes, you put the wrong thing on. So that's what happened to the Beis HaMikdash. The guys, the ninkbuk, they instead of putting on the OU oil that was Mutar Lazarim, they put on the kosher for Kohanim only. So the OU, OUC, kosher for Kohanim. So now we have non-Kohanim in this Chabur, what are we going to do? So this just depends. If you realize your mistake before the roasting started, no big deal. What's the din? Nope, let's hear it again. Give like, say, like some real, you're the real smicha students. What? Say nin, what? Just wash it off, easy come, easy go. But if you already roasted it, so now it's no longer say nin, now you have a problem. So what does the Mishnah say? She says, no problem, just do what? Just take off klipa, just take off the very, very top. So comes the Gemara Pesach and says, wait a second, do we understand this din in the Mishnah? The Mishnah state Beferish and Fehl Heilige Mishnah that says that if you have Korban Pesach, here's the Korban Pesach, okay, and here's the little oil on top, right, and the fire's coming and burning up with the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah says no big deal. Today Klipa, who's got a problem? Who's got a problem for me? So that didn't make any sense to you in light of everything that we know from yesterday. How would you paskin the Shaila? What is this, Rabbi Say? This is a what? L'socha what? Oh, what's hot, what's cold? This is very, very hot, and the oil is very, very cold. This is tzonei l'secham. According to Shmuel, we happen to paskin. Remember, heat rises. According to Shmuel, tasar govar, whenever you have tasar govar, what do you have? A what? What do you have when you have tasar govar? A bli of a what? You have a bli of a kulo. So when you have a bli of a kulo, hey, wait a second, you have a bli of a kulo, why does the Mishnah say it's sufficient just to take off a what? Okay, they klipa. This is a bli of a kulo. And don't tell me a story. No, 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 this is not really a problem because it's only derech tzli. Why? What's the problem? What's the oil? Oil is liquidy, right? This is not just tzli. This is a more serious problem than just tzli. So this is a classic tzaynel seicham. According to Shmuel, a classic tzaynel seicham should ask the kulo. So why does the Mishnah say no big deal? Just take off a little bit of a klipa and call it a day. No, the oil should permeate the entire carbon page. Should I can't use the word treif it up, but it should make it disqualified for non kohanim. So how come the Mishnah says k'day klipa? What happened to tzaynel seicham? A malach Shmuel. What does Shmuel answer? Nah, hanoh what? It's a little bit, and little bits don't go as far as big bits. So even though the regular rules of Hilchas Treifas, the regular rules of Hilchas Tareifas, regular rules of Hilchas Blias should have dictated that there's a Bliya Bakulo, comes the Gemara and says, no, if it's just a Davamuat never goes more than a Klipa. So Taisa says, once we discovered that Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, that Davamuat trumps otherwise rules of Blias, now we have to go back to Chulon Daf Ches, to the case of the Shechting with the knife, which had the Shmaltz on it, and wonder, hey, how come we get away with Klipa? How can we get away with Klipa? I'll tell you why you get away with Klipa, because it's such an insignificant amount, it's a Dava Muat. But you can no longer extrapolate from Akamon Chulon to our discussion about a Yashin Nitzla Boy Gid Hanosha. So basically, Taisus had how many Rayas? Again, we're back to square one, we want to know, what did Shmuel mean when he said that Tzli is okay? So Tysus wasn't sure. Tysus had a suffix. Either Kedei Metila or Kalipa. They're back and forth. So what was Raya number one? Quickly, Chazar. No? What was Raya number one? That's Kedei Metila? Give me the Raya. What was the Raya? Nafal Mereifa, right? Right? Nafal Mereifa, Shokob and Pesach, right? That was the Raya Kedei Metila. What did Tysus say about that? Well, how would they reject it? Let's chaz, no? Too fatty, too juicy. Can't bring a rye, okay? Strike one, okay? Good. What was the other rye that maybe it's Kedei Klipa? Zonin. Zonin Mesoch. What? Move around, just kidding, okay? Cham Lesoch. Zonin. So what did I say about that? We're not so sure, right? It's not really a sleek kind of thing. We're not so sure about that. Is that a convincing rye? Not necessarily. There's a third raya. What was the third raya? Steam house. What? Sakin, right? Sakin Shoshita, right? So that was a raya that you need what? That kleep is good enough? And we'll have a taste of the deich of that? So what do we call that? So everybody say, we have a rule for that. It's called three strikes and you're what? And you're out. Okay? So Taisa says, we don't have any rayas. We don't know where to go. We have no idea what to go. And the Taisus comes to an end. With a crash landing, Taisus comes to an end, and we just know. We had a beautiful tour through Maseches Pesachim, and we know anything and everything that could possibly go wrong when you roast the Korban Pesach, but we have absolutely no more information than we started with yesterday. What is the conclusion? So the Rosh, who was from that school, from the Heilige Baalei Taisus, so the Rosh quotes every Raya and every Dichli, every Raya and every Dichli, and then the Rosh says, what are you going to do? I can't tell you one way or the other. What are we going to have to do? We're going to have to be Machmir. We're going to have to be take Kedei Netila. Why do we have to be so Machmir? Rabbi, why can't I be more lenient? Come on, we're modern guys. We're a little more lenient. Come on, we don't be so fanatical. Why do we have to be so Machmir? Is this the Shaila of a what? Central Shabbat Deraisa, right? Because we're talking about Nesinas Tam, and we all know that Tam Kikus Deraisa. Sorry about that. It's going to hold back, okay? So we're assuming for now that Tam Kikus Deraisa. So we have a question of Nesinas Tam. We haven't come up with any convincing raya one way or the other. So we have to earn the start of caution. We're going to have to pass Kedei Netila. So if all the raya is back and forth, we're going to end up having to be Machmir and the Shaila. So this is probably Shittas HaTos. I can't say with certainty because Tosfos never tells us at the end. But this is, if you ask one of the Balei HaTosfos on that Tzadivad, how you paskin, the lays brave, they're going to have to paskin today to Tila.
How does the
bird in the milk? You know, I was thinking about that a long time. Should we talk about the bird in the milk or not? And you know, we're not going to talk about the bird in the milk. Okay? Too complicated. We'll talk about the bird in the milk maybe later day. Okay? If your bird drops in the milk, put it on hold till April. Okay? Come back in June. All right. So Rabbi say, there's one thing that Titus was absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. And what was that? That Tzli has to answer somewhere. It's got to go somewhere into this Chaticha. It's inconceivable that not. Do we have anyone who disagrees with Titus? Rashi. What? So the Rambam's always good, I'll tell you why. Because when you read a Rambam, and the Rambam doesn't say anything, so you can say whatever you want, alright? So the Rambam, yeah, remember the Rambam, writes in his Akdamah to Mishneh Torah that his goal was one thing. Anyone remember what the goal of the Rambam was in Mishneh Torah? What? Is what? That's right, he's going to tell you, Kol HaTorah Kula. This is it. You have Chumash, and you read my set. You'll have all of Teshuvah Peh, the Rambam writes. Any and every possible thing that you want about Teshuvah Peh is going to be in my Sefer. I mean, I'm not saying Derech Gai, but that's what the Rambam is describing. That was his goal. And therefore, if the Rambam doesn't say it, then by default, what? It doesn't exist. When the Rambam formulates this halacha, when he quotes Shmuel, what does the Rambam not say? Doesn't say to do anything. The Rambam doesn't say, oh, and by the way, do a little klipa on the side. Oh, and by the way, do a little kedei netila. The Rambam doesn't say a word. Mamish, not a word of a word. The Rambam quotes Shmuel verbatim, which leads us to believe that the Rambam probably held what Tosfos held was inconceivable. That kailif ha'olech and oichal ha'ashem megil agid means ipshuto kimashmo. That the atachi is no belias whatsoever. And again, all the Gemaras that Tosfos quoted, none of them are really the same as this case anyway. There was always some fact that it was different. This is a davamut, this is a fatty, this is, yeah, everything is something else. So the Rambam took the Gemara, took Shmuel kipshuto. Before we begin to understand and realize the significance of the Shittas of Rambam, L'chaura, there is a major machlekes that we're showing him here, just in terms of how to translate the words of Shmuel. Forget about what you think you have to do also, just to teach in the words. So, I want to read the Gemara again. Omer Shmuel. L'ab shana el shen is basho ba, aval nitzla ba, koyleif ve'oichel ad shemagia legid. I need some, good translations here. Val nitzlabo, if you roasted it, koylei fa'oichel ad shemagil agid. I don't want to give a shot at translating that phrase. Koylei fa'oichel ad shemagil agid. I don't have any problems with that with those words. Koylei, what does the word kolish mean? Peel. You peel and you eat until you get to the gid. That's what the words mean, the translation. Koylei is a peel. Koylei fa'oichel ad shemagil agid. One of the Heidlik Rishonim had a huge problem with these words in the Gemara. Saying taich in the words of the Gemara. Which Rishon, and how do I know that he had a huge dilemma in front of him just to say taich in the Gemara? Rashi had a big problem staring him in the face. Rashi, Kedarka B'Kodesh, you know that with the English book, what's bothering Rashi? Okay? There's something I see in Rashi that points me in the direction of learning Rashi. There's something that Rashi says that leads me to believe that Rashi is spending a lot of time before putting the ink on the paper to translate this phrase. What magic word does Rashi say? Kloimar. You know what kloimar means? What is kloimar? Kirmo lomar. What does it mean? Does kloimar mean? It means as if to say. What does it mean when you say as if to say? It means you're not really saying it. That means Rashi is already has in the back of his mind that someone could have read Shmuel differently, and they probably would have been correct linguistically to read Shmuel that way. But says Rashi, let me tell you, don't go down that, don't fall down that trap. Don't make that terrible mistake to say a certain pshat in Shmuel, because Shmuel doesn't mean what he sounds like he's saying. That's when you see that magic, when you see a claim in Rashi, when you see in Rashi in Chumash, you see Rashi in the Gemara, you see the word claimer, you know that there's some other pshat lurking in the background, that Rashi's coming lafuke. And then Rashi says an amazing thing. Rashi, by giving you the pshat, is telling you what pshat not to say. What does Rashi say? Kleilef yeichel kloimar, chotech elyon v'oichel, ad shemegil agid. What does the kleilef mean, and what doesn't it mean? Kleilef means you peel from which direction? You peel away from the outside. It means I'm looking at this big, good geschmack piece of meat now, right off the leg, and I know there's a gita nusha submerged inside a few inches deep. Kleilef, I start to peel away, and I eat the meat, peel away, eat the meat, peel away, eat the meat, until I get to where? Until I get to the gid, and I leave it. I leave the gid, I don't eat the gid. That's what kleilef the oichelat shemegil the gid means. So kleilef is not a halachic statement. What does kleilef mean? Kleilef, Rashi, is helping you how to hold a fork and a knife. That's what Rashi is doing for you. Rashi is describing to you how to eat a steak. Is that startling? And before Rashi, I had no idea what to do with a barbecue. Before I didn't know how to eat a piece of meat beforehand. The terror says, I was holding it in my hand, then my wife gave me a dirty look, and I put it down, and I tried to cut it, and then my fork broke, and I pick it up again, and she gives me another dirty look, and at the end of the day, you know, it's all over my face, all over my hands, all over the napkin, and I didn't get any one lousy piece of meat out of it. So Rashi's helping you along and saying, instead of trying to be a chazer and get the whole thing out, kind of take a little slice, little. That's Rashi's helping you. You could see Rashi's concern. Rashi was so bothered. Because Rashi was so bothered why Shmuel used such a funny word, kleilef. What was the other pshat lurking in the background that Shmuel could have meant? Kleilef is not a description of how to hold a fork and a knife. Kleilef is not talking about eating from the outside going in. What does kleilef mean? Kleilef means a halachic, not a culinary statement. Kleilef is a halachic statement. Kleilef, you have to be kleilef. Comma, the oichel ad shemagil agid, and then you can eat until the gid, i.e., not really till the gid, but till the gid plus the klipa that you just discarded, that I just told you in the first word, kleilef. So, if you want to really read the Gemara properly, there are two different ways of reading it. Om shmu avam nitzla, kleilef yoichel ad shemagil agid. Who reads the Gemara like that? Who just read the word like that? Rashi, because kolef is what? Kolef is modifying oichel. Kolef is helping you be oichel. The goal of kolef is to tell you, to teach you how to eat a good geschmack of rib, right? How to eat a good leg of an animal. Kolef oichel is one phrase together. Rashi said kolema that, in contrast to, what would be the other way of reading the Gemara? Nitzba kolef. Take a break. Start being kolef, make sure you got kedei klipa, relax, go daven mincha, and then when you come back, by the way, you could be oichel ad shemegil agid. It's a very, very, very different way of reading the Mishnah. I'm sorry, reading Shmuel. So from the fact that Rashi went out of his way and told you that kolef doesn't mean kipshuto, that they have to take off kedei klipa, Rashi is either saying one of two things. What's Rashi saying? What forced Rashi not to learn the pshuto? Either, like Tosfos, that klipa wouldn't be enough because you need what? You need kedei netilah, so therefore Shmuel should have said no tel v'yoichel shemegil agid. Or Rashi held, like the Rambam, they don't eat anything. So I can't tell you which pshat Rashi held, I can tell you what Rashi didn't hold. Whereas if I dig up any Rishon that holds that the rayas for klipa with taka better than the rayas for kedena tila. Those rishonim, and there are rishonim, there's a Rashba that holds like this. The Rashba holds that Taita's rayas for kedena klipa were much more convincing than the one rayas for kedena tila, and the Rashba paskin taka the shiras kedena klipa. According to the Rashba, that could be what the Gemara means. Koy leif, take klei klipa, wait 10 minutes, and then vayich lashem begil again. So even within the words of Shmuel, there are three different possibilities. So we have three different approaches in Rishayim within the words of Shmuel. And again, depending on what you think about all the rayas that Tosfos threw at you, whether any of those rayas are relevant, if you hold the rayas of Kedena Tila were relevant, or the rayas of Kedena were relevant, the Rambam apparently held that none of the rayas are relevant. So according to the Rambam, Shmuel meant Koylef V'Oichel, not Kedena Tila, but Koylef V'Oichel, Asher Megill Agid, Pshuto Kimashmo.
Right,
of the gear. Right.
How would kolayf be helpful if you're on the outside?
Well, kolayf is just telling you open up the whole thing and then be kolayf from the gear and then enjoy the rest of the meal.
And then the
kolayf is not going to make you a gear. Kolayf means take off the klipa and then ochel at make you a gear and then keep on eating until you get to the gear, i.e., to where you took off before.
And it wouldn't make more meaning. Practically, you're doing
it
when you just take out the
gid
and
kedek
klipa the entire thing.
I don't know. We'll have a share barbecue after that. Okay. Rabbi, so yeah.
The Rambam is saying,
okay, so the Rambam throws a curveball, ship a curveball at us with that last line. All right, why the Rambam put that in, what that is relevant for anything, because we'll see in a moment the Rambam is talking about Shuman again also, which does happen to see in his time according to the Rambam, so we're not quite sure why the Rambam threw that last line in. Okay? But we do see from the Rambam, the Pashas in the Rambam would tell you with Paskin that if this scenario happened, the Rambam would say you can eat mamash till the gid, shoot the kemashmo. So basically, there was a Rambam in Hukos Korban Pesach, a startling Rambam in Hukos Korban Pesach, that startled the Ravid for sure. And we have to analyze this Rambam on many, many different fronts, and part of the analysis is going to depend on what we're talking about right now. The Rambam had a big problem when it comes to Chos Korban Pesach. You know what the problem was? Rosho al Kra'av Yal Kirbo. The Torah has this image of taking the whole animal, putting it on the spit, throwing it into the fire, roasting over the open fire. That's the image of Tzli of Korban Pesach. However, the Rambam learned Maseches Chulin, and the Rambam realized that there are many, many halachic obstacles with doing such a thing. If I would want to run a barbecue like that on a regular Tuesday afternoon, that would pose a huge problem. I can't just take an animal, shecht it, and throw it on a fire and start roasting it. There are so many parts of the animal that have to be removed before. There's so many kashrus alerts in a whole animal. Just give me a few.
A web and a string.
I got chaylev. I got fat, suikores. What else do I got? Hey, I got. What perk are we learning? Hey, I get a nausea's there, right? I have shuman shall get a nausea. What's the shuman get a nausea? We didn't even talk about that yet. Shuman shall get a nausea is there's a certain fat that's on the get a nausea that's not also with the raisa, but it's still also with the rabbanon. So I got that to reckon with. I got these krumos to deal with. Right? Come on, everyone knows what those krums are.
They're
webs, membranes. These different membranes, I don't know what you're talking about. These different membranes that are different parts of the animal, the sugis earlier in the seventh parak, a whole list, a mile long of different krumos and chutin and different parts of the animal that you're not allowed to eat. Why can't you eat these things? Because some of them are chashash of chaylev, some of them are chashash of dam. I got a half a million things. You can't just go take an animal, shecht it, and throw it on a fire and go ahead and eat it. So the Rambam describes, but Hilchos Korban Pesach, what are you going to do? The Torah says, Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to start dissecting it beforehand. So says the Rambam, Leis Breira, when it comes to Hilchos Korban Pesach, you have to roast it mamish kapshuto, and then when it comes time to eat it, you stay the night. So then, by the way, as you're sitting around the table, can you imagine everyone sitting the Kedusha of a Tahara, mamish sitting, he had a melech, mamish experiencing cheiros, you got to see the whole image here. Getting ready to eat the kezayis tzlif in Korban Pesach, and the Rambam says, "Oh, by the way, just push off. Don't eat the chaylev. It's sitting on my plate. Just put it on the side. Don't eat the chaylev." And the other guy, by the way, you're about to take a bite out of the gid anosha. Just put it on the side. Oh, the other guy's about to eat the shuman again. That's what I do. Rabbanan. No, no, don't eat that either. And the guy's eating krumos and webs and whatever else he's eating, whatever, I don't know what he's talking about. He's chutin. So the Rambam is sitting there. You can imagine this scene. Imagine this. I could just see it happening, right? You're sitting around the table and we're eating korm paste. The Rambam is excited. There's this yeshiva guy. He learned in yeshiva for a year. Okay, he comes back. He tells his parents, no. You can't just eat a korm paste just like that. First of all, you got to remove that. Well, we didn't do this last year. Last year we just ate everything. Last year we just ate that much matzah. Since when did the kazayis become that? Like, what happened? No, that my Rebbe told me that, there's a big chumrah now, and now I'm chaylev this year, it's a new chumrah, it's a new thing. What? Come on, that's what happens. These modern Orthodox kids, they go off the sheep, they flip out, all kind of chumrah, they can't chaylev, can't get a nosh, can I? Crazy. So the Rambam is describing the Seder. Imagine the conflict at the Leila Seder. That's for all the people who are at a Leila Seder. For those people who decided, instead of coming through Shalayim, they're going other places, so Baruch Hashem, they have no problem. There's no problem, chaylev. That's why the Pesach program started, because they wanted to get away from the Rambam's chelem and get a nashat. Now we have a limud chos. It took me many, many years to come. That's the best limud chos possible. Okay. Well, just kidding. Okay. I mean, I've learned tzachim. I've already taken my first knock at the Pesach program. What? Not El yet. Gotta stop the problem before it starts. Okay. So the bottom line is they're sitting around. I didn't say anything yet. What?
Would there be a potential problem with Borer?
It's Yontif. What about the Rashba, the Magnishas, yeah. Borer, and Yontif? Come on. I don't know. Come back when we learn Shabbos next time. Okay, let's say. Back to that story. So we're sitting around the table, and the Rambam was the one who was responsible for having all this typhus staring me in the face on the table. As long as he's just removing it, everything's great. So the Ravid says, this is one of the most powerful Ravids I've ever seen. You saw the Ravid? The Ravid didn't just say the Rambam was wrong. The Ravid says that if I would be Zoicha to come one day to Shalayim to eat Korban Pesach, and they would put a Zak Korban Pesach in front of me, I would throw it into the garbage. See, Mashlicha upon it. I would throw it in down the drain. Why? You know what the Ravid says? This Korban Pesach is treif through and through. Why is it treif through and through? It has bliyas galore. It has bliyas of chaylev. It's got bliyas of gidanosh. It's got bliyas of shuman. It's got bliyas of krumus. It's got every path. This is the worst. This is a nightmare, says the Ravid. This is how you roast a korban Pesach, violating all of us kashrus. He sees zerka upon him. I'm not mishloach the Ravid. It's so to hits, he throw him to the garbage. What's behind the Rambam? So you have to take the Rambam piece by piece. So, let's analyze the problem step by step according to the Rambam. How the Rambam somehow ignored every one of these bliyas. So the first is the easiest. How come the Rambam wasn't bothered to get a nasha? Gaval, does it get a nasha in there? Come on. Why? Hilchasa ein begidim minayisin tam. Our Mishnah would be bothered with it, but we don't bother with our Mishnah. We know that already. We've been learning this Mishnah for a whole week. We know it's Shalaik Halacha. We know that Gidin Usher doesn't give off any real taste. And any taste, quote unquote, that comes out of Gidin Usher is meaningless. You can't eat the Gidin Usher itself. Eitzi v'atayras rasai, but it's not a nice in town. We can read this, I believe. But wait a second. Hold the phone. You're going to tell me that the Rambam would say that if you cook the Gidin Usher, you have no problem? Of course you have a problem. You don't have a problem of a Gid giving off tray for giving off time, but what do you have a problem of? The Shuman Hagid, and everybody knows that even though the Gid Anosh itself doesn't give off Tam, but the Shuman Hagid gives off Tam. Everyone except for the Rivam that places quotes in the next Sugya, but hold two Sugyas down, hold off for now. The Rambam happens to be one of those Rishonim who holds that Shuman Hagid isn't nice in Tam. So Asher says, no big deal, not a problem. Shuman Hagid, it's not awesome. At worst, it's an Issa Derabbanan. I'll tell you a secret, off the record, I'm not even sure it's an Issa Derabbanan. Anyone know what the Gemara's Lashon is? The Gemara says about the Shuman Hagid, the Gemara says, it's not really Gid Anosha. Yisrael Kedoshim Nogu Bo Isser. So it's Machlekes of Yishayim, is it a Minig or is it a Din Derabbanan? We're not even sure it's an Isser Derabbanan Mamish.
Is that binding though? If it's like an accepted
Minig? Yeah, hold on. You have to do it. You have to keep it. There's no question you have to keep it. But at worst, it's a Derabbanan. It's not a Deraisa, for sure not a Deraisa, according to anybody. And therefore, Mistop with the Rambam Shid is that you're right. Under normal circumstances, this would taka be treif midrabon. And if you do this in a regular, you know, a regular restaurant, a regular barbecue on a Tuesday night, we would not permit you to eat this because it has blias of shuman of ginanosh in it. But for the mitzvah deraisa of korban pesach, which is to fulfill the pasuk kipshuta rosh hakorban kirvo, to eat it to be tzelit shalem, mistama chazal lifted the yisad derabanan lekayim the mitzvah deraisa of korban pesach kedino. So. You know, we're not going to lose too much sleep over the shuman. The shuman agid is not going to make a break. I'm not going to throw out a car basically because it's got shuman agid bleas in there, says the Rambam. Okay, so we move on. We're moving up in the degree of severity. Gid and Nosh was the easiest shuman agid. We kvetched a little bit, got out of it also. Then we move into the krumos. Oh, yeah, until 10 minutes ago, you never even heard of krumos. Okay? So if you saw one, you wouldn't even know what it is. So you have a krum. You have this membrane or something, and Gavald Kishrigin, the Gemara says in the seventh paragraph of Gichulin earlier on, a plot to go, you have to remove these krumos. You can't just eat krumos, they're also Gavald. So the Rambam says, no problem, but you could roast with your krumos in there. You could roast with your krumos in there. Aren't the krumos giving off tam? So what's the answer? So the same way we ignored the Shuman Agid by calling it the Rabbanon, it's very possible that this whole Isra Krumos is only with the Rabbanon anyway. Now, is that true? The Gemara says, Arash Mishim Chelev. So what's the answer? Anyone saw the Rambam? I put a Rambam on. Anyone saw the Rambam? Did I put on one of the Rambams? Yeah. Says the Rambam in the fifth of the Rambam, Kermis, Yerali, Shekol Eilu Achutin Vakrumos Yisumi Divrei Seifrim. Yeah, they're all Durabon. The Gemara says they're like Chalev, they're not real Chalev. They're like them, they're not real them. They're not really Surim Deraisa. So if the Rabbi would have stopped there, that the only Durabon, we would have said, the same way we didn't lose any sleep over the Shuman Agir, we're not going to lose sleep over the Krumos either. But the Rabbi himself makes an about face, says, Vim Taimar, Shehina Surim Atayra. The Rambam acknowledges the fact that somebody may argue with his assumption and may say that the Krumos are really awesome in Deraisa. Because maybe they are considered to be a shtikl chelev and dam, maybe even midaraisa. Says the Rambam, if you want to play devil's advocate, I'm not sure, Rambam. Your royal leaves of the Rambam would appear to me not the way, but I'm open for discussion. The Rambam says, but ain't like it alem. Nobody would say the Yechai Malchus, Ella Malchus Mardus, the Yuk Yechatzishir Shu Osam in a Torah, the ain't like it alem. They're like a chatzishir of chaylev. They're not real. It's not the real mekuy chaylev. It's like a shtickle chaylev. On the love of deraisa, it would be a nisa deraisa, but without malchus. So the Rambam himself is mistafik, is not convinced. If the Rambam really, really was convinced he was right, he would have said, you're wrong, and everybody else is wrong. So the Rambam is not sure whether these krumos are really also deraisa, but it's chatzishir of chaylev, or not. So, Bishlam of the Rambam would have been convinced that the only Dirabana and that we would have been okay. But since the Rambam himself is not sure, so now wait a second, how does the Rambam justify roasting Korban Pesach with them in it? So how can I get to the piece of the meat? I'm about to mamash, I'm about to make a shirk, I'm about to eat my kezayas of tzli, and wait, right before I do it, just cut off the krum. What do you cut off the krum? Your bli is in the krum. So again, if the krum is only yasta b'dirabana, big deal. Like Shuman Agid, it doesn't bother me for the mitzvah deraisa. But if it's a real deraisa of chaylev, it's just chatzishia without malchus. But that's an issa gomim in a Torah. So what happened to the blias? Where are the blias? What happened to the blias? So the chayyur said there's only one answer to this question. What's the one answer to this question? There is no blia here. You know why there's no blia here? Because this is tzli. And if Korban Pesach ain't tzli, then there's nothing that's tzli. This is tzliyesh. This is the Rambam Meshitosai. So it took us three attempts to prove that the Rambam Hilchos Korban Pesach is a Shitosai. The Raya from Gid Anoshe, we could have, you know, knocked off by saying, ain't be given anything time. The Raya from Shuman Agid, we could have been, you know, ignored and said, Shuman Agid is only Dirabanan, don't bother me. But the Raya from Krum, I mean, this is not the most convincing Raya in the world, but it's the Raya from Krum, Al Hatzad, that the Rambam is not sure that Krumus may be their eyes also. What happened to the Bleas? Oh, it must be the Rambam by Shmuel, Kalef Echmash Gilengid, that saves the day. So we could breathe a sigh of relief that the Rambam Menuchas Korban Pesach is comprehensible, unlike the Ravid's absolute attack against the Rambam. The Rambam's Shita is understandable within his understanding of Shmuel that Kalef Echmash Gilengid means Mamashu Tukhashu Baruch Hashem. We salvaged the Rambam Menuchas Korban Pesach. We have only one problem, let's say. Probably the biggest of all the problems. Remember, there were four things that occur in Pesach that are problematic. Give up, please. One was to get a nasha and nishkefelach. One was shuman nishkefelach. Krumus nishkefelach. What?
Strings.
give me kelan. Give me something.
The
it starts with a ches. Cheil, chutin, and krumus are all the same. It's the same halachas. Cheilev. Cheilev. Rabbi said cheilev. So you're going to say, oh, come on, don't bother me with Chelev. After all, this is what? Say it. I'm going to try to say it. The sleep. That was the silliest thing I ever heard anybody say. Why? What was ridiculous about what you just said? Because the next line of the Gemara, which we haven't started yet, tells us that Bamed Devamamum, that sleep doesn't spread all that far. What trumps that rule? Shani Chelev, the what? Dimifapea. When you have a fatty thing such as Chelev, that's like rotavi, that's like liquid, that's like bishul. So Chelev cannot be, it's not going to hide behind Shmuel. Shmuel can help for the Gidid and other things. Maybe Shmuel can help me for the Shuman, maybe that's not so Mefapeh, maybe. Maybe Shmuel can help me with the Krumos, for the Chutim, but it ain't going to help me with the Chelev. Chelev, the Rambam's wrong, the Raivad's right. I serve a guy, a Karim Pesach, with Chelev thrown into the garbage. His Beli is Gemur, I have Kores, disaster. What kind of Karim Pesach is that? So what's the answer to that part of the Rambam? Who here looked at this Rambam Hilchot Korban Pesach? Who here went through and thought through all the four different stages of dilemmas that we have with this Rambam? Who here went through all the different answers in their mind to solve each one of them and realize it's the Rambam L'shitasai? Can I ask what everyone was doing for the last 3 years? Who here realized that the one shaila that's staring us in the face that's insurmountable is the Chelev problem? We have to go back to the drawing board, everybody's saying. What was the premise of our kashas against the Rambam? Why do we get such hits with this Rambam? Why is the Rambam so angry at this Rambam for? Because the Rambam is advocating eating treif. Now, if all the Rambam was advocating was eating treif the Rabbanan, would we have lost any sleep over that? Remember Shimon HaGid, we were cool, we had no problem with Shimon HaGid. Why? Because that's not the Rabbanan. Anyway, who cares? The Rabbanan is called Pesach, is more important than the Rabbanan, so logos will be chayagavna, right? So we have no problems overlooking Yisurim the Rabbanan, Laman Korban Pesach. That we're comfortable with. The problem is when you have derises on your hand, that's when you have a problem. I'm going to challenge everybody and say, do we have any real derises here altogether? Are there any real derises here? What do you mean? This is blias. This is Tom. This is disaster. Chayav is a nisa deraisa. There are blias of deraisa here. Isn't this nisa deraisa? This is only as also deraisa as no sin tam. Does anyone remember when we first opened up Shia so many days ago? Oh, 3 days ago. We said that the premise of the entire Mishnah of Tzarivav is that when the halacha says you can't eat trey for food, not only can you not eat trey for food, you can't even eat tam of trey for food that's penetrated into kosher foods. That's called Nais and Tam. I kind of said under my breath a little bit that institution of Nais and Tam is not clear whether it's Deraisa or whether it's Derabanan. There are actually 8 different shittas about that. How can there be 8 different shittas about whether it's Deraisa or Derabanan? You have to scratch your head, but hopefully we'll get there down the line. Okay? The entire premise of our kashas against the Rambam, why we're getting so uptight about this Rambam, is that the Rambam seems to be advocating eating treifas deraisa. That is only true if we're dealing with the tam ki ikar problem on the level of deraisa. The Rambam happens to have a very, very unique sheet about tam ki ikar deraisa. Remember, I threw out a question: is tam ki ikar deraisa, tam ki ikar derabanan? So the answer according to the Rambam is, anyone know? Is Tom Giga Derai, Tom Giga Derabanan? Anyone know the answer to that question is? I put it on the Rambam, on the Rambam Kermis. What would the Rambam say? I have a piece of food, and I don't really have... It's not a piece of chazer. Remember that picture we drew on the first day? Little oink oink, little pig? That's chazer. Now I have a kosher food. I have a pot of potato soup that has tam of chazer in it. Well, let's think back to Korban Pesach, right? I have my Korban Pesach, and this is kosher, right? This meat is kosher, but... There was some chelev over here, and I removed the chelev. I'm not going to eat the chelev at the Seder, but some of the chelev seeped in here. Right? It's mefapeya, so it's all over the place. All over it. It's mamish, all from beginning to end, it's permeated with chelev. I can't see the chelev right now, but I can taste the chelev. I want to know, Rabbi, min haTorah, I'm asking Moshe Rabbeinu now. I'm sitting in Mitzrayim at the very, very first Seder. Okay? Put ourselves the whole door for Dorachai, at that first Seder. Okay, everyone got that picture in their mind? Ten Commandments, right? Remember, okay? You got the picture, the image, all right? We're all sitting there at that first Seder, and somebody pulled off the stunt, and they roasted the carbon Pesach. Okay, Caleb wasn't given the Chayso yet, but let's, you know, use our imagination, okay? With that first carbon Pesach, in the second carbon Pesach in the Midbar, okay? Or in Yoshua, we're sitting in Gilgal, and we're eating that carbon. We're in the days of Yoshua, HaMelech, you name it. And we want to know, there are abundance we don't care about right now. We're biblical Jews, okay? We don't believe in their abundance. We're just derites, all right? So I want to know. I'm a karoi. I want to know what's the din derites, okay? So, Moshe Rabbeinu. Medeinu, hey, look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Tell me, please. I have a piece of meat. This is my meat, okay? It's kosher. It's got a big OU on it. What's the problem? It's got tam of chelev coming from all directions in it. Moshe Rabbeinu, can I eat this or not? If the answer is yes, I mean, I tell you if I could eat it, then the Rambam doesn't pose any problem whatsoever. If the answer is no, then this is a huge insurmountable problem. All the grandiose answers that I gave, that the Rambam's Lashitaso and Chulun Daf Tzadivav and Gidanasha and Aimed and Gidanas and Tam and Shuman and Gidanas and Rabban, all those answers are all going to fail us miserably when it comes to the concern of Chaylev. So the only way out of the Chaylev dilemma, according to the Rambam, is to somehow convince you that eating this meat, even though it is that chelev, tam chelev galore in it, is not also b'deraisa. That's going to depend upon the unique sheet of Rambam about tam kikar. So I ask you once again, Rabbi Say, is tam kikar deraisa, tam kikar derabbanan? What is the sheet of Rambam?
Depends on the
shear. All I want to hear is, it depends. The Rambam is one of those Rishayim who says that the answer to that question is not yes or no. The answer to that question is, it depends. What does it depend upon? You tell me what it depends upon. Doesn't it depend upon can you taste it or not? If you taste it, it's their ice. If you can't taste it, it's mustard. What can it possibly depend upon? So the Rambam, based on the Gemara Masechet of Adizar, that the Rambam read one way, and Rabbi Shem read a different way, and hopefully we're going to spend loads of time. So this is going to be like major, one of the major, major, major sugars of the year. The Rambam understood that in order to be awesome in HaTorah because of Tam Kikar, it is not enough to merely taste it, but there has to be a certain amount that's there as well. If you have what's called Tamo, anyone know the phrase the Rambam uses, that the Gemara uses? Tamo Umamosho. There's something there. Again, it's not an oink oink chazer. It's not a piece of chayav that I can touch, that I can see. But it's not just Tam alone. There's Tam with a volume of tam, there's a certain amount of volume of tam, then and only then tam kikar is a deraisa. If that volume is lacking, then tam kikar is only midirabanan. That is the shita sirabam. Anyone know what the magic volume is? What is the volume? So the volume, the sheer of the volume, is going to be expressed as a ratio. It's a ratio of treifa tam to kosher food. What is that ratio? It's a kezias, not shishim. What's the ratio? It's a kezias b'chdei achilas pras. You have a kezias of treifas in there. That's a lot of treifas. That's a lot of time. That's a whole cup full of, a whole ounce full of treifas. But it's spread out throughout the kosher food. And you have food in there that if you would eat that entire piece, it would take you X amount of time to eat that piece. That's the shear of kedechelis pras, which translates to me to 3 eggs worth or 4 eggs worth, depending on what you think the number of kedechelis pras is. The Rambam happens to say it's what? Rambam says it's 3. So comes the Rambam and says in the 7th of the Mamakimus, what is tam kikar deraisa? Koshahoyim in a chelev kezayis b'chol sholosh beitzim in a tarevis. That's the shear deraisa and loike. Pachos, if that shear is not met, for one of two reasons that shear is not met. How could that ratio not be met for one of two reasons? Either you don't have a kezias to start with, or even though you have a kezias, but what? But you have so much more kosher food that it's more than gimel beitzim worth of kosher food, so you don't have that magic ratio of kezias to kosher pras. That is tam kikar mitir abbanim, according to the Rambam. Now again, hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to spend a lot of time analyzing this Rambam and the Shittas who agree and disagree with the Rambam. There's a lot about this Rambam later on in Tam Kikar, but you have to know for our purposes, this is Shittas Rambam. If this is the case, so then this may be the easiest answer to our entire dilemma in Nuchas Korban Pesach. Why? Because, yes, there's Chalev in there, but anyone ever see a lamb who went to the sheep Shchitin and just were called the summer? Right? You saw how much chela there was in the animal? Were you measuring whether it's kazakh or chela spras? There's a lot, an animal's pretty big. Chela is not that much. And therefore, the Rambam would tell you that the ratio falls short, and therefore, there's no tam kikah deraisa. If there's no tam kikah deraisa, that's good for us. Why is that good for us? Then it's kosher min haTorah, it's asam midrabanan, it's treif midrabanan, but we're talking about hilchos what? Korban Pesach, who cares? The rabbanans don't bother with hilchos korban Pesach. So, Rabbi Yisai, this is the ultimate answer for the Rambam to solve the Chalev dilemma. Once you have this answer, what don't you need anymore? You don't need any of the other answers. The other answers were nice, they were cute, but they're now irrelevant. They may be true, but they're true but irrelevant. Once I have this answer that there's no deraisa here anyway, because this is all part of the Rambam's general theory about Kedai Sechel Fras, so then none of the other answers are necessary, and therefore we don't have to plug the Rambam in the Shittoso and Uchus Tzuli. It was probably right what we said. The Rambam probably does hold Kalif Eichel Shigil Git Kipshuto, and that would have been a good answer to explain the Krumos problem, but the Lav Hachi, you have to come on to it almost in a sense an all-encompassing answer of Chalev, and because Chalev is the most serious of the four objections to the Rambam, we have to fall back on the Rambam in the Shittoso. So when all the dust settles, everybody, let's just cause what do we have. So we have a very, very simple statement, right? Shmuel made one line. Everyone saw the line in the Gemara? Amar Shmuel, Kalef Eichel. When you read the line in the Gemara, everyone realized that we're going to spend 2 days talking about it? Kalef Eichel. So what do we have? No, Chaz for a second. We have three possibilities in Rishayna what Kalef Eichel means. Either it means Kedei Klipa, or it means Kedei Netila, or it means nothing. We have Tosfos, three Rayas back and forth, and every one of them fell short for different reasons. We have the Shittas Rambam. We have this Rambam and this cryptic Rambam Nuchas Korban Pesach that posed a lot of problems, particularly for the Ravid. And we went piece by piece, step by step, trying to deflect each part of the Rambam. One of our potential Dichuyim of the Ravid was based on the Rambam Shittosa by Tzli of Shmuel. But then, when the dust settled, we realized that, you know, we have to come up with a better Teretz anyway. So once we have the better Teretz, we don't need to really be able to root them. So the Rambam Nuchas Korban Pesach is fascinating. It's part of a Rambam's general theory about Tam Kikar, which again, hopefully, we'll talk about a little bit more in weeks to come. Somebody had a question?
Korban Pesach has enough fat to penetrate the Gedei
Netila,
but it's not enough here to think that you would have to.
Gedei Netila just means a drop. Did you want to know the Gedei, the one that's answering the entire. Okay. Yeah, Enochinami. We have to work on what that means when the Gemara is going to put a break in that also. The Gemara is going to put a break. How far that's going to go? Good. I hear you.
Why does it being derived to the Rabbanon affect the Rambam? I don't understand
that. Well, if the problem is only the Rabbanon, so then b'kirchos korban pesach they will lohem midu divrei b'makom korban pesach. They're not going to throw you assume the Rabbanon to prevent you from doing korban pesach what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay. How would the Ravid hate the pasuk of Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur?
Do your best. move everything and then throw the thing back. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Is it going to have Midrabanan because of the ratio? Why for our Kurbanos do you have to remove everything before? Why can you leave it out?
No, because there's a din. You have to be marked to the Chalev. So you mean over here, you're going to take it off and be marked to the Chalev afterwards. You can have to be marked to this Chalev also at some point. Right. Yeah, it's very mud now. How are you going to do all that? The Mishnah describes, it's very strange, because the Mishnah describes doing that Tarsa Chalev Mibiel Yom. Right, you're going to roast it Mibiel Yom, and then you're going to do that Tarsa Chalev Mibiel Yom, right. We're going to roast it Mibiel Yom, and then you're going to take one of the right. The problem is, when you have, it's out of order. What you really mean to ask is, the Mishnah Pesachim says that when their Pesach falls down on Shabbos, so the Mishnah says that you do the Akhtar Sachelev on Shabbos, even though the Tzli is not happening till later. So isn't that Mishnah against the Rambam? That's a good kasha. Oh, I didn't see that kasha. Okay, think about that. Okay. What? Yeah. Yeah. Even the hector itself is on the Shabbos, the Gemara says. Chaviv mitzvah b'shaita. I don't think about it. I don't know. Okay, I gotta think about it. Okay. Maybe by the Mikdash, I'll figure this one out. Yeah. But I don't know what the rabbi held. I don't know. No idea. The rabbi didn't say anything about it. I don't know. The rabbi doesn't tell you how bad things spread. Maybe he's worried about the chaylev. That was the lashon of the rabbi. The rabbi asked him the chaylev itself, didn't he? What's the lashon of the rabbi? Tarbe de tosi masna. That's chaylev. Chofta bekarkel of fun of. I know. Okay, listen. So I can't figure out what to do next time the Korban Pesach comes out. Okay. Little chumash.